Oi, tudo bem?
Hello, hi. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Schmitty, and this is Talkin' Schmidt. I want to thank all you members that are the ones, the shout-out, and the producers helping me keep this thing going and getting guests like today's guest, Indiara Asp from Santa Cruz Skateboards. Viva Brazil! Goal! All right. Before we get into it, though, I got to announce the winner. The Blood Wizard board giveaway. It was wizardry, wasn't it? We got a winner, guys. The answer to the question. The question? Who was the first rider for Blood Wizard? The answer? Well, Drew Brieschke knew.
Drew Brieschke?
Okay, Drew, and then the last name, Breechy. Breechy? I don't know. But Drew Breechy won. And the answer was Jack Given. Jack's a good friend, holds it down in San Francisco. He's been on Blood Wizard since day one. And Drew, we'll see what we can do. I got Toad over here waiting. He's going to ship out the board to Drew once he emails me his address. There you go. We give shit away here on Talkin' Schmidt.
We give shit away here on Talkin' Schmidt.
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard!
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Shout out to Justin Lewis. Shout out to Bob's Acamano, 5123. Shout out to Ambassador Productions, 9268. Shout out to the big homie down there in the big state of Texas, Howdy Cat.
Shout out.
Mad love, you're always chiming in. Shout out to Billy Rabone. Shout out to Nomis underscore 7. Shout out to Jason Miles, 556. Shout out to Nomad Skateboarding. Shout out to Dr. Villain X. Ooh, villain. Shout out to MW7851. Shout out to Laker Killer. Hashtag Lakers suck. Shout out to the man up in GV, Grass Valley Zone. That's right, kids. It's Hansi Driscoll. You might have heard his voice in some of our harsh bards. He's got that deep, lovely voice up there. Shout out to Jacob Stokely. I think Jacob was our first member ever. So mad love. And shout out to Jay McAllister 607.
Shout out.
And now, here's Indy.
Hello, I am Indy, and you are listening to Talking Schmidt. Let's fucking go.
Hey,
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean? Well, Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
John? Schmidt?
Talking Schmidt.
Alpha Macaroni.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
What are Yuns doing?
Holy shit.
Skateboarding homies.
No, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith.
Yay! Gregory.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
Okay, hello everyone. We are back and we have a great episode for you today. We're going deep down into Florianópolis, Brazil, representing the RTMF, Layback, Evoke, Vans Brazil, Red Bull, Santa Cruz Skateboards, probably many, many other sponsors. But today we have Indy Asp.
Ooh. Yeah, you got it!
Indy, thank you for joining.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the invite. I'm super stoked to be here talking to you. It's been a long time.
I know,
long
many
time
years, maybe
talk.
Before COVID.
Yeah. A lot changed. Huh?
So much. How's the boys down there? How's Florianopolis?
It's good. We have more skate parks, like good skate spots. We have a lot of kids skating, a lot of yes. girls that I'm very stoked about. Yeah, it's been pretty good here. I have a backyard bowl in my home. The dream.
How deep?
Can I say in meters? It's like...
Yeah.
The deep part is like 2 meters. 2 meters. It's not that big.
Okay.
It's like...
So it's like head high?
Yeah.
Let's see. You were born and raised down there?
Yes, in the same house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I kind of know a little bit of your story, but how did you get into skateboarding, particularly because I know that you were surfing, doing probably soccer, all kinds of sports?
Yeah.
And what made you say, skateboarding is where I'm going to put all my passion and like be more focused on that and kind of probably dabble with the other ones,
yeah.
but like go full bore skateboarding?
It was the feeling of dropping for the first time, because I've always like practiced a lot of sports and I always love it. My dad, he loves to surf for hobby. And I think his dream was for me to be a professional surfer. So he started teaching me surfing since I was little, and I really loved surfing. I still surf with him every day we can. But the thing about skateboarding that was different, I think it was because I always dreaming to dropping somewhere. Like when we used to go to parks, and I used to go in every transition that I could just hoeing. But I couldn't drop him. And I was dreaming to do it. And the day I could do it, it was the best feeling ever. It was like I overcame my biggest fear and I did it. Like, I can do it. This feeling is so
yeah.
good. So I started going to this place that I learned to dropping, like every day that I could. And I was trying to learn, like, I learned to drop it. Now I want to learn a trick here. And the feeling was the same. Every time I learned a new trick. And that feeling is the same until today, you know?
I love that. You guys are so... I talked to Pedro, Murillo, you know, all the guys down there. And the passion is like it's coming out of your skin the way that like you just feel like for skateboarding. And it's been cool to get to know you guys. Through contests, I kind of met you,
yeah.
and then we start seeing each other more and more, and some guys move to California, and then there's been trips and stuff. So how did you get good at transition skating? Is there a lot of skate parks and ramps and stuff around you, or, like, how did you, like, because you kind of started skating transitions,
yeah.
right?
Actually, before I learned to dropping... Because I learned to dropping when I was 15. And that's...
15.
Yeah, that's the age that I say that I really started skating. Because I start skating every day. But before that, my dad gave me a skateboard when I was 7. So sometimes we would go to some streets just to ride the board. But about the transition... So I learned to dropping in this place. It was like a small... pool, like really small pool and easy to skate, like mellow. But after like 2 months, a friend of mine took me to skate High Adventure in the RTMF, and that's the place that I got to meet Pedro Browse and all the guys here, the real scene of skateboarding here in my city. So I started going there and I never left, so I started going there every day and skating with the kids because I was 15, but I was starting skateboarding. And I didn't start skating with Pedro in the beginning. I started skating with the kids that was were like 8 years old. And they were learning. So I started learning with them. And I really like felt in love that all I wanted to do was skating. After school, I used to study in the morning. After school, I would spend my whole afternoon there, like from 2 p.m. till 10 p.m. I would stay at High Adventure skating all day with the kids.
Is the High Adventure the one with the Red Bull?
That one, yeah, exactly.
Everyone loves that Red Bull. I know P-Stone and Jake, when they went down there, they would always have sessions at that place.
Yeah, I met Dan there. I met Jake Phelps there. And I remember he said to me, "You can go far, but you're going to work hard. You're going to need to work hard." And I was, okay, yeah. I'm working hard.
I'm ready.
Let's
yeah.
do it. And he gave me Spitfire wheels that I gave to my brother because I would was skating bigger wheels, and my brother skated that wheels like it was the best gift ever. Yeah.
Oh, cool. How will you describe Florianopolis? Because it's kind of like a little remote. It's not like Rio or no. Sao Paulo. It's more like a little zone, right?
Yeah. Have you been here?
No, oh. I need to go.
Yeah, please come visit. So Floripa, for me, it's the best place in the world. It's a small island, let's say like Hawaii, but I've never been to Hawaii.
I can't
tell much. But it's a small island. We have a lot of good place to surf around here, so we have this surf vibe, and we have these backyard bowls, a lot of backyard bowls like mine, like Pedro's, like High Adventure, and we didn't have many skate parks, but we have a lot of backyard bowls, so we say we have this California vibe, you know, here. And I live in front of a lake, so for me, having this view of waking up and seeing the water, it's so peaceful. And I have the dunes, you know, sand dunes.
For the sand?
Yeah, right in the back of my house. So for me, it's like such a blessed place, you know. And I have my skateboard, so it's all I need. And I have my family here. People call Florianopolis the magic island. They say we have magic around the island. So I believe in that.
Go with it, huh? Yeah. Is there an airport near there?
Yeah, we have an airport. And actually, it's an international airport. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So when you first kind of start understanding, like, this is a worldwide skateboarding, you know, there's magazines, there's videos, there's all this stuff going on. Are you in touch with, like, what it is skateboarding, like, in the world? Or are you kind of mostly, like, knowing of Brazil skaters? Like, who are some of your early favorites that you start recognizing as, like, oh, these are, you know, obviously when you meet Pedro, he's probably blowing your mind. But, like, is there any photos you see or videos you see where you're like, oh, my God, who's that?
Yeah, I was always looking for girls, especially. So, yeah, in Brazil, I had two references. That was Karen Jones for vert skating. And Letitia Buffoni for street, but I didn't have like a park or bowl skater girl in Brazil. So I was the first one to go out, you know. But I was always looking for Lizzie Armanto, Alicia Bergado, Nora Vasconcelos, Cara Beth. Those girls were like my favorite. I used to watch the videos on YouTube. So the first time we went to California in 2016 and we skated with them was the dream. Like, whoa, no way, we are here with them. And they were so nice to us because it was me, Isa, and Dora. We went together for the first time and we went to the combi pool contest that you filmed us. Yeah, you filmed us.
Yeah.
For the Thrasher video. I remember it was the first time I was in Thrasher. I was like, so stoked.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second.
What's up? This is Yash Easy and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
I'm not sure because I filmed a lot of the contests down there, but at the combi there was one in particular that Leticia Gonsalves.
Yeah.
The girl, she, I think you guys, I forget who, but somebody had the Brazil flag.
Yeah, yeah.
And we filmed like a little intro in front of the flag and then showed the skating. And I was like, kind of like friends with Murillo and Pedro a little bit. So I felt like, you know, like this is my crew. And then like, that's how we kind of started really. I was like, let's film this. And then it was like, yeah, okay, let's do a trick. Yeah. And it was like ever since then.
Yeah. That was the first time we went, all the girls, like we were in 5 or 6 Brazilians for the first time at Combi Pool in 2016. Leticia, me, Isa, Isadora Pacheco, Dora Varela, Thaís Gazarra, and Bia Sodré. Yeah. And we did the flags, everything.
Yeah, it was awesome. That wasn't your first time to the United States, though, right?
Yes, it was my first time. Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
So you flew just for the contest, or did you do a trip around the contest?
We went there and stayed 50 days. We went
50?
50. We went for the contest and to film for a TV channel in Brazil. We filmed our show. It was called like Let's Go Skate, and it was about me, Isa, and Dora going for the first time to California, skating, chasing for our dreams. So we filmed for 25 days. And we really realized a TV show in Brazil that year. It was very nice. We got very people starting to know us because of the TV and everything.
Okay. How are you getting... Like, did you have to pay for that in the beginning on your own, or did you have a sponsor or something? Like, how did you get help with travel?
Yeah. For the days we were filming, we got, paid the tickets and the staying and the food, everything. But for the other days, I used some help of my grandfather and some people that helped.
Nice. So what was your first impressions coming to United States, seeing the Combi Bowl? Like, was the Combi Bowl intimidating, or had you skated enough bowls that you felt comfortable right away? Like, and then seeing Lizzie Armanto and these girls that maybe you looked up to, seeing them in person, like, how is all that?
It was amazing. Everything was just like we used to watch it in movies or YouTube. The bowl was so big and scary, but we used to skate Pedro's bowl that's also a little bit scary and big, so but it's different. It's very different, but we were a little bit prepared for that, and we had so much energy, like first time, so we wanted to skate and do our best and be there and leave everything we could with our presence like 100%. So I think, this was the beginning of everything. And after the contest, like when we did it and we skated good, and I got second on the amateur 15 and over. Dora won the amateur 15 under, Isa got fourth, so that was the moment that we realized we could, like, continue being skateboarders, and maybe our dream of living off skateboard was, like, real. It could happen, you know? Because we were there with girls from every part of the world in the biggest contest at the moment, and we did good, you know? So we were so stoked. I can't describe.
Yeah, the combi, I missed that contest. It was always one I was looking forward to every year. It's like the bowl never changed. So like you're like, how's it going to get better? But every year it did, you know, the second or third to last contest, Pedro aired over from one to the other. Like no one had done that. Like every year you're just like, how are they going to, what's going to happen this year? And it never let us down. Yeah. Like we were so stoked with the energy indoors is just crazy. Yeah. Like you're just, even just filming, I just feel it like, whoa, you know, and the semifinals is a little less, and then the finals is like more, and you just are like, damn, it's on.
And you know, no, one thing that was very special to us, because before we went there, Pedro already was doing the Red Bull Skate Generation here in Floripa. So I've met Grosso, I've met Rossoy, I've met Elguera here. And I didn't know they would like recognize me. But when we arrived there, they were like, oh, our TMEF girls, come here. Yeah, how is Pedro? So we felt very like, how can I say, welcome, very welcome there by then, I think, by the legends. So we felt like we were part of the skateboarding world, you know?
For sure. So did you get any sponsors out of that? Like, did someone see you and start like wanting to put you on, or does that come later, or what happened?
So I have good stories about my sponsors. The first one is Santa Cruz. So I started skating when I was turning 15. And like 6 months after I started skating, because I started going every day, so I was progressing a lot, you know, for that time. We didn't have many girls skating, so I was getting good, really good at the time. And then I was at Hydro Venture skating by myself. It was like a summer day, very hot. No one was skating, only me, because I was so addicted to it. And then Paul Merrill from Santa Cruz, from NHS, he was there to talk to the people here who take care of Santa Cruz. And he saw me skating, and he was very interesting about it. But I couldn't speak English at the time. One guy that was there, that is Oscar Med, a friend of mine, he was there and he English is hard sometimes. he started like...
You're doing good.
Thank you. He started telling my story for Paul. He said to him that I was... just started skating like 6 months and that I was getting good and everything. And Paul asked if he could film me. He filmed it. He sent to the other partners of NHS. And like 1 month after, he told the people in Brazil who took care of Santa Cruz that he wanted me in the team. So with six nice. Months of skating, I got in Santa Cruz. Yeah, so it was my first like sponsor, but like not a real sponsor, like Flo, you know, in the beginning I was getting like, I think, four decks in a month and some clothes, and that was, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, I love skateboarding so much. I love Santa Cruz. It was always my favorite brand. Always, the Screaming Hand was my favorite. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, the dream is happening.
would they send you a box in the mail, or would they send it to a skate shop and you would get, like, how would you get your product? Because it's so far.
Here in Brazil, they produce.
Oh.
Yeah. It's different, okay, but they produce here as well. So I would get the bags from here. It's so hard for them to send from USA to here.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So first I start using the Brazilian boards that they produce here. But then after times, every time I would go to California, I would bring the decks there with me. Yeah, because they're a bit different. Yeah, the material and everything.
So did you have any idea about the history of Santa Cruz? Did you know, like, maybe some of their earlier videos or early pros, Rob Roskopf, Jeff Kendall, any of these guys that maybe you're, like, knowing of them a little bit? Or did you not know anything about them at that time?
At that time, I didn't know about much about it. But I always knew that Santa Cruz was one of the first brands of skateboarding. And I think because of RTMF and the people there, we were very influenced to know about some of the story about skateboarding, the history of skateboarding. And I knew some people. Actually, one of my first, like, teachers, not teachers, but a professional skater that used to skate with me in the beginning at High Adventure, and he would teach me a lot of tricks. And he's a street skater, Rodolfo Ramos Gugu, but he ride for Drop Dead. He used to ride for Drop Dead, and the owner of Drop Dead is the one that represents Santa Cruz here in Brazil, Eduardo. Eduardo is the guy who is the owner of Drop Dead, and he represents Santa Cruz, Creature, Independent, Treasure here in Brazil. He takes care of this part. And he's one guy that was every time at High Adventure. That was the place everyone were there, you know. So,
yeah,
I was influenced by them to know about the story, to know about the brands and everything.
So in the early days, what are some of your tricks that you're learning early on? What, like, you got the cradle slide probably pretty early. I feel like ever since I've known you, you did the cradle slide, Smith grind, layback air.
Yeah, I think the Smith grind, the frontside Smith grind, was one of the first tricks that I learned. And that was like... hard for the girls at the time, especially here, you know. And I used to do in the deep end. I remember when I went to Combi for the first time, that was the trick. I was carving and going for the front Smith grind. And the front 50s on the square part, I remember I fell and falling a lot. People were scared about me because I would go for the front 50s. And then my skateboard would go up, and I would go down backwards. But
because when you do front 50s, you don't do them cheating style like some people do them, like inside. You're up on top when you do your
I like to do front 50. I think this is the trick that I can do it like faster, you know. How do you say, I prefer front 50 off backside 50s.
Oh yeah, you like the front 50-50
better than the backside 50s.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit, for people that don't know, describe what the RTMF is.
Okay, the RTMF is a crew of people and families that built their house around the same place in front of a beach, and they built a skate pools, and they always, like, one day of the week, they meet everybody. Everybody meet in High Adventure or Pedro's Bowl to have a skate session, barbecue, rock and roll, and just talking about skateboarding, being around, and make it alive, you know? Keeping it alive, keeping the skateboarding vibe alive. So the RTMF can be a 50 years old man, 13 years old girl, 6 years old boy, all age, just together because of skateboarding, you know.
Is it Pedro's dad, Andre, or like who actually started it and then it built out?
So it was Pedro's dad with Leo Caquinho. and Rafael Bandarra. Rafael Bandarra is the owner of High Adventure, and with Leo Caquinho and André, they built the first backyard bowl for Leo to skate, because Leo was the only skater at that time. Like, Rafael didn't skate that much, I think, and André didn't skate that much. They were more, like, into surf. But then, then they bring, like, skaters from other cities, like, cities close from here, like Curitiba or São Paulo. Everyone was just coming here and buying, like, a place to live, to build a house around there. And then it was how it started. And then Pedro came. Pedro was, like, 1 year, 1 year old when he took Leo Caquinho skate and start riding, and then start being Pedro.
Yeah, I mean, talk about, like, the impact of Pedro, because, I mean, both you were in the Olympics, but, like, Pedro before the Olympics and everything, he was, like, for example, Jake went down and saw him for the first time and came back and was like, I saw the next Bob Burnquist. This is incredible. Like, Pedro Barros, blah, blah, blah. He couldn't stop talking about him. And then we meet Pedro and we're like, okay, I get it. Like, this, I think they were calling him Nitro because he's just going so fast. You're like, this guy's going like 10 miles an hour faster than everybody. Yeah. But is Florianopolis so laid back that it's kind of like chilling, or do people still kind of like go, oh shit, there's Pedro, and like fan out a little bit? Or like, how is the situation down there?
No, Pedro is a big figure here. Yeah, people go crazy about him. It's not like Raíssa nowadays, because Raíssa is like crazy. It's like celebrity. Yeah. She can't go anywhere. But Pedro is like, whoa, Pedro Barros here. Let's take a picture with Pedro. Oh, Pedro.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been that for a while before the Olympics, for sure. But after the Olympics, more people from other, not from skateboarding or sports, got to know him. So it's more people on the right. But I think the thing about Pedro is the energy he puts on when he's skating. Like, do you know what I was talking about, the Magic Island? It seems like he has the magic inside of him, like when he skates, or when he has to do some, he wants to do something, he puts that magic on.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's always like impressive to see him skate, and I've seen him skate so many times, but it's always a pleasure. Like, you show up and you're like, when's Pedro going to skate? Okay, cool. Like, I'm going to watch that for sure. And the other guys too, like Marlon and Marillo and V, like the whole crew is just like, the energy's coming out of them. Like, when you see them, they're just, and you too, like the positivity and the stoke is like, it seems like it's always, who do you give credit for that? Is that like the culture? Is that your upbringing? Like, it seems like you guys are just like super positive and super stoked, like, most of the time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where it come from, but for me,
the magic of the island.
I was going to say. I think for me, it's a lot about it. It's how I was grown, this connection to nature. Keeping, oh, my dogs.
He wants to say hi to my dog.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's about this connection to nature, to knowing, like, to keep the feet, how do you say in English, you know, like, keeping the feet on the ground, but, you know what I want to say? Are you understanding? Like,
Maybe something like keeping your feet on the ground, like staying high, but not too like cocky, like just like enjoying the life.
Yeah,
right?
And keeping the essence, you know, like Pedro, it was always a good example. He's a good example for us. Like, even the first time I saw him, He was at High Adventure, and he said hi to me, you know. He didn't know me. I knew him. He was the idol, and he came looking in my eyes and said hi. And that was like meaningful for me, you know.
Those guys are the best. They're like, it's just smiles and good energy. What was it like for you when things start to get better? Talk about turning pro. Like, it was a surprise, and they had you at NHS, and they give you your board and stuff. Like, did you see that coming, or like how was that? And that must have been like kind of the pinnacle. Like, this is it right here.
So how I was telling you, my relation with Santa Cruz start really in the beginning of my life with skateboarding. So I always had a huge place for Santa Cruz in my heart. Like, even one time I remember because in the beginning I was riding for Santa Cruz only in Brazil, like a flow skater. But then Element went me and the team, and André, Pedro's dad, was helping me and take care of my career in that time. And he said, Mo, Element wants you in the team. It's a big brand and everything. And I said, yeah, I know, but I really love Santa Cruz. I love the brand. They believed in me in the beginning. And Andrea said, cool, nice. So let's talk to Dan and ask Dan to make you official in the team, at least. So that was, I think, 2017, when they officially introduced me to the team. I went there, we filmed for an intro video saying that I was part of the team, like an amateur, but I was like part of the United States, like the worldwide team, not only in Brazil. So that was like a big part of my life as well, of my career, like being recognized in Santa Cruz. Because all the skaters we had here that was skating for Santa Cruz in Brazil, they were only in Brazil. So I was the only one, the first one, to be riding for the Santa Cruz outside Brazil, you know? And then after years, in 2022 or 3, don't really remember. We had like a meeting and they told me they want to turn me pro. But they didn't tell me when was going to happen. I thought it was like probably in the end of the year. And okay, I think it was May, something like that. They asked me to go there to shoot some pictures for the clothes, the pier. And they were having a party for the anniversary of Santa Cruz. And they were bringing everyone there. And okay, I went to X Games first in Japan. And it was not a really good experience for me that time, because they still had the COVID restrictions, so I couldn't leave my hotel room, and I was by myself, and the park, the skate park, it was not getting ready, so we only skated like one session in the same day of the competition, and it was like full of girls. And it was not the Vans Park City vibe or the Kung Fu vibe. It was like, I couldn't even drop in. I couldn't do anything. I didn't like the park. I was not feeling good. I was like, why am I here? The other part of the planet. And I'm not feeling good. But okay, then I competed. I made it to the final. Was good. But during the final, I couldn't land my run. But I got eighth. Was all right. Then straight after Japan, I went to Arizona with Santa Cruz. And we went to film, me and Mina. You know Mina?
Yeah.
Mina Stas. Yeah, we went to film. We skate there for Santa Cruz. To film clips. And it was very nice. For the first time, I felt good after Japan, because I was not feeling good. And then there, I was feeling good, skating and trying tricks and filmed some tricks. And then we went to Santa Cruz, shoot some appear of pictures. And then we were going to that party, and then they showed my board. They showed my board, and I was like, I wasn't expecting that time. I really wasn't. And then I started crying for the first time for happiness. I never cried for happiness.
Oh, wow.
I was just in tears, and oh my God, and the deck was so beautiful. It was very special.
What was the first graphic?
It's that snake. Like, the whole deck's a snake. The colors are like pink, and the back is like green, like Brazil, represent Brazil, and then pink and purple and metallic with my name up in the nose. It's super. I still love this one. Probably my favorite.
Did you keep one?
For sure. I have my wall here, my dad. My dad is always like keeping and like my trophies and things that mean something he puts on the wall.
Okay, we're going to take a real quick time out because my dog's going crazy again. I got to fix this. 1 second.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.